This morning I want to just very briefly touch on, as a reminder, what I covered a couple of weeks ago. And if you come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis 39. It's the account of Joseph. I'm not going to dwell a lot on this chapter this morning, but I just want to read verses 2 and 3 and 4, 2 to 4. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority." What we have here is a statement, and it's made twice in these two verses. In verse 2 it says, "The Lord was with Joseph." And in verse 3 it says, "And the master saw that the Lord was with him." You know, God was with this young man, Joseph. And this statement here, which actually occurs in this chapter 4 times, applies to the blessing of God that's on him. You know, whenever you see this statement in the scriptures, says the Lord was with, particularly in the Old Testament, it's talking about the blessing of God upon him, which will bring the goodness of God, the glory of God, like we've been talking about over these last few weeks. And what we actually see here in this chapter is that God's blessing was on him. God was with him, prospering him, blessing him, pouring out his glory upon him. You know, that his glory might be seen, which is another scripture we've covered in the last few weeks. And it says here in verse 4 that Joseph found favor in his sight. You know, the blessing of God brings the favor of God. God's favor was upon him. And because the Lord was with him, everything he did and everything he handled prospered. It was blessed. You know, the favor of God rested upon him. And that favor of God promoted him and caused him to excel. Now, as I said, I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at Joseph, but I just want to remind you of where we finished last week. Remember last Sunday morning I was teaching on Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And I finished with a scripture in the Psalms. I want to go there again to Psalm 84. On verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. Which says, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." You know, the Lord will give grace, his favor, his blessing, and glory. And it says, no good thing. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now this word upright doesn't just mean a person who has who is righteous because of what God has done for them. But it talks about those who are walking in accordance with the truth of God's word. Lined up with what God has said. Walking in truth. Walking in integrity is another word. For those who walk uprightly, God promises that there's not one thing that he will withhold. Not one good thing that he will withhold from them. That's the blessing of God. That's the favor of God. You know, he will give grace. He will give glory. Now we're going to look at this morning three people in the scriptures. Well, we're going to start by looking at four. And we're going to look how the favor of God was upon these four men. So, the guys will be with me, and we'll keep up. We have, the first of these is in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And it's stuck in the second half of the Old Testament. And I have it. Daniel 1. And verse 3. Let me just give you what's happened here, because verse 1 tells us that in the third year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went to Jerusalem and besieged it. And he took from the temple, he took from the house of God all the articles of gold and silver and all of the things to do with the worship. They all went back, they all were taken back to Babylon, as well as a whole host of people. And verse 3, it says here, it says, the king instructed Ashpenaz, master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision from the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of it, that time, they might serve before the king. Now among those men that were called, among the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now you will know them better by their Babylonian names, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now these four men, it says they were, amongst others in the court, they were given a portion of the provisions that the king had set aside. And I want you to see what it actually says in verse 8. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel and the other three are with him. You know, they purpose. They're not going to partake of what the king has set aside. They're not going to eat from the king's table. They're not going to eat meat or food that has been offered to idols. Because that's actually what it is saying here. They're not going to allow themselves to become defiled by eating something which has been given as an offering to an idol. Now, these are men that fear God. These are men that serve God. And they make this request of the chief of the eunuchs. And they said, look, we don't want to partake. We don't want to defile ourselves. We don't want to eat from the king's table, what the king has provided. And because they want the blessing of God to be upon them, they don't want to step out of God's will and purpose for them. And it says in verse 9, it says, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of eunuchs. God had brought Daniel into the favor of God was upon him, just like it was on Joseph. And it says that Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar. Why? Because God's blessing was upon him. And when God's blessing is upon you, you cannot help but be in favor with others. People see God in you and you have their favor. if you are in employment, now you might not always think this, you may not always look at it that way, but your employer knows if you are upright, you are honest, you are hardworking, you do your best, you serve in your employment, you serve your master by serving God, or serve God by serving your master, whichever way around you want to put it, and you are honourable in all things, your employer will notice that. Now you might not think he does, or she does, but they do. And favour comes upon you. The favour of God comes upon you. You find favour in their sight. You find there's promotion. You find there's pay increase. You find all these things. Why? Because you are honourable unto God. And this is what happens here for Daniel. Because they wanted to not defile themselves, because they didn't want to go the way of everybody else, and they asked this request, we don't want to eat the king's provisions because we don't want to defile ourselves, the favour of God was upon them. And so what they actually do is, because this causes a little bit of upset for the chief of eunuchs, because he thinks, well, if these four men are eating what the king has provided, you know, they're going to look very gaunt in their face, they're going to look thin, they're going to look like they haven't eaten and they're not doing very well, and in the case, his head would be taken from him. He'd be executed. And so Daniel came up with an idea. He says, okay, so look, let's have a little test. For 10 days, this is verse 11. For 10 days, 11 through to 16. For 10 days, he said, just give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. He says, and then at the end of those 10 days, he says, we will stand with the other men that are eating from the king's table, eating all the finery, all the delicacies, eating all what would be sumptuous things. He says, we will compare ourselves with them. And at the end of those 10 days, you can determine for yourself. And so they agree to this test. And for 10 days, Daniel and his friends ate only vegetables and they drank only water, while everybody else feasted sumptuously from the king's table and what he had provided. And it actually says here in verse 18, it says, now at the end, am I in the right verse? Okay, 15, sorry, verse 15. It says, at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. Why? Because the favour of God was upon them. God was blessed because they chose not to defile themselves, not to sink down into sin, but rather to rise and say, no, this is what God wants from us, and we're going to do what God wants. We're going to honour God. It doesn't matter what it costs us. We will honour God. We will be true to God. We won't defile ourselves. Now, let's move on, because in chapter 2 of Daniel, you know what happens here in Daniel chapter 2, the king has a dream, Nebuchadnezzar, and he begins to get very agitated because he doesn't know the meaning of the dream, and he puts a test to all of the wise men of the kingdom, and he says, I'm not going to tell you my dream. He says, if you're truly wise, he says, you'll know what I've dreamt, and you'll be able to give me the interpretation. And one after another, all the wise men of the kingdom, all of those astrologers and those that looked into all these things, that they couldn't give him a reply. They couldn't tell him what the dream was. They weren't able to tell him the dream, so how can they give him the interpretation? And one of them, in verse 11, one of them came to him and said this, said, it is a difficult thing that the king requests. And there's no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. That the king is impossible. What you're asking is impossible. How can we possibly know what you dreamt? This angered the king. For this reason, verse 12 says, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all of the wise men of Babylon. Now, amongst those number of the wise men were Daniel and his three friends. They were, because they were promoted because of the favour of God upon them. And what does Daniel do? He goes to the Lord. He seeks God. And God reveals the dream to Daniel. And Daniel begins to explain this dream. He begins to tell him what he saw. And in verse 47, and I didn't give you this one, Gerald, but give me 47, verse 47. It says, Daniel, the king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also Daniel petitioned the king and he set Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. You know, the favor of God was upon Daniel. Why? Because he chose to seek God. They chose not to defile themselves. They chose not to partake of what the king had provided. He chose to go to God in the time of need and seek God when it looked like they were going to be put to death. And God revealed to him the dream. And because of that, they were promoted. All four of them. Daniel was promoted and made him ruler over the whole of the province. And Daniel said, well, if I'm going to be like the prime minister, that's for want of a better word, he said, I want these three men in my cabinet. I want Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king granted his request. Why? Because of the favor of God that was upon them. Now, this is where I want to come to this morning, into chapter 3. In chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So he's constructed this golden image, this giant image, and he's inviting all of those that are eligible in the land, the administrators, the governors, you know, all of those in authority, all those in government. And he says, I want you all to come together. Now this includes Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Now we don't read much of Daniel in this chapter, but we certainly read of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they came, verse 3 says, they all came together, the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province gathered together for this dedication of this golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the command went out to all of these people in authority. Now, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, when you hear the sound of the music, when you hear all this thing going on, it mentions a number of instruments. This is an orchestra. It says, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, at this moment you are to bow, fall down on your knees and worship this golden image. That was the command that was issued. And these types of commands are being made of us today. We must bow down and do something conform to what the nations of the world wants of us. If you don't do it, you're going to suffer. That was the consequence. And that's what we are told today. If you've got to do this, or else. And the consequence was this, verse 6. It says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So what happens? They are in this dedication of this great image, and all of a sudden the music begins. The sound of the harp, the sound of the lyre, the trumpet, the flute. And when they all heard the sound, people from all over, all people, nations and languages, it says in verse 7, fell down and worshipped this gold image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. All except, I would say all except four, but we only read of three in this chapter. And you know those four, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And it says, verse 8 says, there came at that time certain Chaldeans and accused the Jews. And they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You've made a decree, king. You commanded that when people hear this sound, this music, they have to fall down and worship and bow and serve this image. And you said that the consequence of that, if anybody doesn't do that, they're going to be cast into this burning, fiery furnace. And they came and said, oh king, there are certain Jews. No, don't you just reading that line in verse 12. There are certain Jews. Think, there's a man here, or there's a group of people here who are, there's racial tendencies here. Oh, it is them Jews. Those ones that came from, you brought into, from captivity. It's those. There's segregation. There's racism. There's certain Jews whom you've set. You've set them king over the affairs of the kingdom. And they are not paying any regard to your command. They are deliberately being disobedient to your command. Because you said that if you don't, you've got to fall down and worship this image. And these men do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, verse 13. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. And he asked them this question. He says, is it true? What they're saying of it, are these allegations true? They're saying you're not bowing down, you're not worshipping this image that I have set up. He says, now he says, I'm going to give you another opportunity. Another chance to redeem yourself. You know, next time you hear the music, it's going to sound again. Next time, if you just fall down and worship, everything will be good. Everything will be okay. You know, there'll be nothing to worry about. We're just looking at it as a little oversight. We'll treat it as done and forgotten, and it's in the past. He said, but of course, if you don't worship when you hear the music, I'm going to be true to my word. You're going to be cast into this fiery furnace. And then the king makes the mistake. Another mistake. He said, and who is the God that will deliver you from my hands? Who is the God that will deliver you? He's basically saying, he said, not even the gods will be able to deliver. I am God. My word is the last word. Do it, and it will be okay. You don't do it, you're going to burn. You're going to suffer. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king in verse 16 and says, of Nebuchadnezzar. We don't even need to give you an answer in this matter. Because if that's the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. Now, if that's what's going to happen, King, if you are going to throw us into the burning fiery furnace, that's okay, because our God, whom we serve, whom we are faithful to, whom we have, we've not lowered ourselves, but we didn't partake of the King's provisions. We didn't defile ourselves, and the favor of God was upon us. You know, the favor of God was upon us when you had your dream. Oh, we haven't got to give you an answer now, because the favor of God is upon us, and he will deliver us. God will deliver us. Our God, whom we serve, he will deliver us. So if that's the case, do your best, do your worst, put us into the fire, God will deliver us. And then the next scripture, verse 16 says this, but if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So what they said, King, okay, if you're going to throw us into the fiery furnace, we want to let you know that our God, whom we serve, he is able and he will deliver us. But then they said, if not what? Now a lot of people have looked at this scripture and said, well, if you decide not to throw us into the furnace. But I don't believe that's what they're saying. When they said, if not. What they said, if our God does not deliver us, still we're not going to bow down and worship your image. Still we're going to remain faithful. Still we're going to serve our God. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to compromise what we believe. We are going to serve God. That's what made Nebuchadnezzar mad in verse 19. Because Nebuchadnezzar was so full of fury, it says the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded they heat this furnace 7 times hotter than normal. And they were tied up, they were bound, they were thrown into this fiery furnace. Because it was in so much of a rush, the people that were handling, that were tying them up and down, precautions weren't taken, and the intense heat of the furnace killed them instantly. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were bound, they were thrown into the fire. Don't you just love this? In verse 24, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, didn't we cast 3 men into the midst of the fire? Didn't we? Actually, no, he didn't say that. He said, didn't we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said, that's true, King. He says, I can see 4 men and they're walking around. They went in bound. Tied up. I don't know quite how they were bound. Maybe behind them. But they were tied up. They were bound. But here in the midst of the fire, there are 4 men walking. And he says, the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. I see 4 men walking. They are not hurt. The form of the 4th is like the Son of God. So he brings them up out of the fiery furnace in verse 26. And we read some amazing things here. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and he spoke. Don't forget, those that were putting them into they were killed instantly by the intensity of the heat. You know, the heat was so strong that it killed them. It says, then he went near to the mouth of the fiery furnace, and he spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the king's council, they were all there, all gathered together. And they saw these men. Listen to this. They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. They weren't burnt. They weren't scorched. They weren't red in the skin because of the heat. This fire had no power on these three men. The hair on their head was not singed. A few weeks ago, I don't know whether you saw it, but our sister Isadora and sister Titi, they posted a thing on their page with somebody setting fire to their hair. Did you see it? You take a flame to something like a piece of hair, it will. But it says here, it says, their hair was not even singed, didn't even smell burnt. It didn't ruin their hair. Neither were their garments affected. The garments weren't burnt. They didn't have brown marks on. They weren't even dirty. You know what it's like when you get near a bonfire of smoke? You know, your clothes look dirty. And it says the smell of the fire was not even on them. How good is our God? You know, the smell of the fire wasn't even... They didn't even smell smoky. You know, you go anywhere near a fire, you know, the first thing that the smell sticks to you, it clings to you all day long. You can't get rid of that smell until you wash the clothes. And even then, it still hangs around. But it says here, the smell of the fire was not even on them. You know what's even more amazing? Actually, something did get burnt in the fire. Their clothes didn't get burnt, their hair didn't get burnt, their skin wasn't burnt, they didn't have the smell of smoke on them, but something did get burnt in that fire. The ropes that they were bound with. Because they were walking around in the midst of the fire. And when they came out, there's no mention of them being untied. You know, the blessing of God was upon these men. Why? Because they refused to compromise what they believed. They said, we're not going to defile ourselves. We're not going to go that way. We're going to stand. And even if God doesn't deliver us from the fire, we're still not going to bow down and worship the image. We will not compromise. And then this chapter finishes. Verse 30. It says the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You know, the blessing of favor promoted them. God's blessing upon them caused them to be promoted. The blessing of favor will keep us and deliver us in the midst of the trials. Now I'm going to finish with just a couple of scriptures here. Come with me to the book of Psalms 34. The book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 19. I think it's the last verse, or the last but one. Somewhere around there. Well, not quite the end. Verse 19, Psalm 34. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now, this verse isn't granting Christians exemption from problems. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have a problem. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through the trial. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to face a fiery furnace. Or, as was the case with Daniel a couple of chapters later, the den of lions. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to face these things. So many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what it does promise us is that the Lord will be with us. The Lord will deliver us. The blessing of his favor will be upon us. When we go through the fire, we have the confidence of his presence. There were four men working in the midst of the fire. We have the confidence that His favor and His goodness will go with us, will be with us. Now, we may still have to endure the problem. We may still have to go through the difficulty. We may still have to go through all of the test. But we have the Lord with us. The Lord is with us. Amen. Remember when we said that with Joseph? The Lord with it was His blessing, His favor, His goodness was upon him. Let me just finish with this one scripture. Isaiah 43. Because it actually says this. Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, he says, for I am with you. You know, when we go through the waters, when we go through the fire, you know, we're not going to suffer. We might go through the problem, but we're not going to be overcome. Why? Because the blessing of His favor is with us. You know, this word honored in verse 4 is the root word for glory. You know, we were talking about it last week. You know, the glory will be seen upon us. You know, we will have that glory, that honor. And then, of course, he finishes verse 5, the last verse I read. He says, I am with you. The blessing of favor is upon us. Amen. Amen.
Let's give it a hand.